Summer is in full bloom, but soon the light will start to dim in August. Then it will hasten its decline around the fall equinox on September 22nd. And on December 21st, it will reach its nadir on the shortest day of the year, the winter solstice. And if you pay attention to these patterns, you'll likely pick up on some cases of seasonal affective disorder. And today we'll teach you how to use the first line therapy for this, the light box. Welcome to the Carlette Psychiatry Podcast, keeping psychiatry honest since 2003.
I'm Chris Aiken, the editor-in-chief of the Carlette Psychiatry Report.
And I'm Kelly Newsom, a psychiatric NP and a dedicated reader of every issue. On the surface, everything looked good for Norman Rosenthal in 1976. The South African doctor had just moved to New York City to start a psychiatric residency at Columbia. It was summertime, and he had boundless energy, which he poured into practice, studies, and research projects. But when wintertime came, his energy was sapped, and he couldn't imagine how he would take on so much work. These seasonal shifts repeated themselves, and they were unlike anything he experienced growing up in the sunny climate of South Africa. After graduating, Dr. Rosenthal went to work at the National Institute of Mental Health, where he encountered a patient with similar, but more intense, winter depressions. The patient improved with artificial light, and Dr. Rosenthal put out a call in the Washington Post to see if anyone else out there suffered from similar symptoms. He expected a small handful to reply, but his phone rang off the hook for weeks. Thousands of people called. That launched the first controlled trial of bright light therapy for seasonal depression. It was published in 1984, and its success had been followed by nearly 100 randomized controlled trials. Those studies have found that it works not just in winter depression, but in non-seasonal depression, perhaps because we spend so much of our time indoors that we don't get the amount of sunlight we need. Even the brightest indoor spaces are only half as bright as an overcast outdoor day, 500 lux versus 1,000 lux, and far darker than a sunny one, 10,000 to 30,000 lux. Light therapy has an effect size in the medium to large range, and in head-to-head studies, it generally works as well as an antidepressant. It has also been used successfully to augment antidepressants. That means that light therapy is one of few natural or CAM therapies that works as well as medication. The others that come to mind are SAMe in depression and Selexan in generalized anxiety disorder. See our August 2020 issue online for how to use Selexan. In this month's issue, we report on a new discovery, the first randomized controlled trial of light therapy in post-traumatic stress disorder. And in this companion podcast, we're going to go over the basics of how to use light therapy in depression. To start with, you'll need to know how to recommend the right kind of light box.
There's a paradox to light therapy. The more popular a light box is, the less likely it is to work. That's because the qualities that make these boxes attractive, being slim, portable, and unobtrusive, also keep them from giving off enough light to treat depression. Here's what is required: a large screen, at least 12 by 17 inches, that hangs over the head and gives off an intense white spectrum light. Full spectrum and blue lamps do not have good evidence for better efficacy than white spectrum, and we don't recommend them because they cause a problematic glare. Just how bright should the light box be? Ideally 10,000 lux. And if you're listening to Kelly, you know that that's like a bright summer day. But light therapy can also work as low as 2,500 lux, which is like an average outdoor day. But if the box is lower in the 2,500 range, your patient is going to need to sit under it longer, like 2 to 4 hours instead of 30 to 60 minutes. The box also needs to have a filter to screen out dangerous ultraviolet rays. Okay, that's a lot of specs to remember, but you don't have to go through an exhaustive search to find a good box. Since the FDA doesn't approve these things, a group of researchers led by Michael Turman at Columbia University has stepped in with specific product recommendations. Find them at the Center for Environmental Therapeutics at www.cet.org. Currently, they recommend Northern Light Technologies Box Elite OS, which is $180. Another good option that has been used in clinical trials is Carex's Daylight Classic or Classic Plus. These are $100 to $140. Also, keep in mind that the bulbs on a light box are going to lose a little of their therapeutic intensity over time, even if they continue to look bright. So the light box is going to work best if your patient replaces the bulbs every 2 to 3 years. They can get replacement bulbs for around $20 on Amazon.
It's not just the quantity of light, but the timing that matters. Light therapy works in part by setting the biological clock, and morning light has the most potent effect on that circadian system. The sweet spot for light therapy is generally between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., and depends on whether the patient is a morning person. Closer to 5 a.m. is ideal, or a night owl. Closer to 8 a.m. is ideal. Michael Terman's group has developed a self-report scale to predict the optimal start time called the Morningness Eveningness Questionnaire, or AUTO-MEQ, at www.cet.org, under the Assessments tab. Most patients with depression need 30 to 60 minutes a day of light therapy at 10,000 lux, or 2 to 4 hours at 2,500 lux. They should start to see improvement within 1 to 2 weeks. If they've not recovered after 4 weeks, try to increase the duration. Patients with a strong seasonal pattern should start the therapy preventatively 2 weeks before their winter episodes typically begin. They can taper it off as the springtime comes. Patients should sit with the box slightly tilted at a 30-degree angle over their head. They can read, eat, use a computer, or meditate under the light, but should avoid looking directly into it for the same reasons they shouldn't stare at the sun. They can wear glasses as long as they don't have transition, blue blocking, or tinted lenses. The intensity of the light falls exponentially with distance, so their head should stay 10 to 14 inches from the screen, depending on the light box model.
Many patients are skeptical of light therapy. I'll emphasize that it's as effective as an antidepressant and also alters neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and melatonin. Other patients believe that light is beneficial, but they think that a sunroom or a bright reading lamp will do. And while those approaches are certainly helpful, I'll tell those patients that the amount of light they're getting by sitting by their window or sitting under a reading lamp is actually what was used as a placebo in the light therapy trials, specifically between 300 and 1,000 lux. On the other hand, though, if your patient doesn't want to use a light box, morning aerobics, or in one study, a 1 hour outdoor walk in the winter in the morning, has good evidence to work in seasonal depression, as does bupropion and other antidepressants. But bupropion, Wellbutrin, is the only one FDA approved in seasonal depression. Another obstacle I run into with patients is the timing of the box. It's difficult for some to do it early in the morning. Either they can't get out of bed, or they have to get to work or drive their kids to school then. So if early morning is not practical, patients can still get some benefit by using it later in the day, as long as it's not past 2 p.m. After that time, light therapy is no longer setting the biological clock. It's flipping it in the wrong direction. Depression, insomnia, and mania can result from using light too late in the day. Again, it's not about the quantity of light, it's also about the timing. Patients who have difficulty getting out of bed and starting light therapy could benefit from a dawn simulator. These devices were also studied in winter depression, and in a handful of controlled trials, they worked. They create a virtual sunrise in the room while the patient is asleep, gradually lifting them to full awakening and giving them some of that needed light in the morning. In studies of people with depression as well as regular folks, dawn simulators improve wakefulness and energy in the morning and might just give them that boost to get up and use the light box.
Safety and side effects. Light therapy is well tolerated. Headaches, eye strain, and mild nausea are the most common adverse effects. The main risk is the exposure to high-intensity light, which can damage the skin and eyes. Recommended boxes have a diffusion screen that filters out ultraviolet light, the most harmful ray. Blue light, which lies next to the ultraviolet spectrum, will still pass through and may pose a problem for patients who have retinal disease or take photosensitizing medications like lamotrigine, antipsychotics, or tricyclics. Reports of actual problems are very rare, but patients should consult with their ophthalmologist if this is a concern. And now for the word of the day. Polygenic risk scores.
Mental illness is not caused by a single gene. Instead, there are dozens or even hundreds of genes that confer a risk for psychiatric disorders. And depending on how these genes interact with the environment and with each other, determines whether a person is going to develop bipolar, schizophrenia, OCD, or not. But what if we could count up all those genes to come up with an overall risk score for each patient? That is what a polygenic risk score is. It's not part of everyday practice now, but research is accelerating in this area, and we may be using it as part of our intakes sometime in the future. To calculate a polygenic risk score in research, investigators look at all the genetic markers in the genome that seem to differentiate cases from controls. Then they weigh each of those markers by the strength of its association with a particular disorder. Join us next week, where we're going to have an interview on pharmacogenetic testing with John Nurnberger.
We packed a lot of technical details into today's podcast, and if you'd like to see it all laid out in print, you can. Just go to our website and search for the article, A Practical Guide to Light Therapy, from our November 2019 issue. It is everything you need to know to get started with light therapy in practice. The online article also has the protocol for using light therapy in bipolar depression, which is different from the steps we've outlined in this podcast. Podcast listeners can get $30 off their first year subscription with the promo code PODCAST.
A special thanks to Dr. Michael Terman for reviewing this text before it went to print.